Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Lerfuah Shelema Yitzhak Ben Adel. El na refana lo, el na refana lo, el na refana lo betoch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Daf Kuf Tet Vav. Today's daf is being studied Le'anu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We begin the new perek, the 16th perek of Masechet Shabbat, perek called Ketveh. The Mishnah begins, called Ketveh HaKodesh, Masilin Otan Mepene HaDeleka. We're talking about a case over here where Chas v'Shalom, there's a fire in somebody's house on Shabbat. And we're going to learn that the rabbis made restrictions on what exactly you could remove from the house, because the concern was that in the state of confusion, trying to recover all their goods, they might end up putting out the fire. So therefore, they limited how much you can take out. However, when it came to Ketveh Kodesh, for example, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, which means books, holy books of the Tanakh, you're allowed to recover them. Which means don't think you'd only be allowed to save the Torah, but you're even allowed to save Nevi'im and Ketuvim as well. That's the prophets and the scriptures that are written down in the Sefer. That's why it says called Ketveh Kodesh. All the holy writings can be saved. Furthermore, the Gemara is going to tell us that you can bring it out to a mavui, into a shared area, right, like an alley, which is a mavui, and even though there's no eruv in the mavui, which normally when you have a mavui that's shared by many people, you need to make what's called shetufeh mevuot, right? You need to make a certain type of eruv so everybody has rights to carry in this mavui. And the chiddush is over here that even if there is no eruv in the mavui, it's still permissible to carry out the Ketveh Kodesh. Now obviously the reason is because out of kavod, out of respect to these holy writings, the Achim did not want to let them burn. Now the Tosafot makes one point, which is a general rule throughout the whole perek. He says the whole perek we're discussing the house that has the fire in it. That which we have restrictions, what we can't take out and what we can take out. However, if, let's say, you're a neighbor, the fire is not in that house, and you want to take out stuff, Tosafot says you can take out everything. The only restrictions of Alperic is the house that actually has the fire in it. But other houses, we're not worried about anything. What are you worried that you're going to put out the fire? There's no fire in that house. So therefore, but you just want to save it maybe because it might burn. So therefore, it is permissible. Mishnah continues. Ben shekorin ba'en, uben she'en korin ba'en. Which literally means, whether you read from the books, or whether you don't read from these books. Now, what does that mean? So the way that she understands it is, in the synagogue every Shabbat, we read Nevi'im. That's the Haftarah. So that would be considered, whether it's Navi that you do read from it on Shabbat, or whether it's Ketubim, scriptures, which you don't read from them on Shabbat, meaning in the synagogue. That's the way that she understands. And then he quotes from his rabbis, Rabbeinu Levi, and he says that the Mishnah means ben shekorim bahem is, let's say, the Navi. Ben she'en korim bahem is the ketubim that people are not allowed to read, not even at home. Which means, for some reason, which we'll see in the Gemara, Hachamim, or the Mishnah later, Hachamim did not want people to learn ketubim on Shabbat, even in the privacy of their own home. Why? Because they wanted them to go to the shi'ur in the synagogue. And in the synagogue, they used to give a shi'ur every Shabbat on Hilchot Shabbat, on the laws of Shabbat, which was very necessary for the people to hear. The Chachamim felt if they could allow them to read Ketubim, Ketubim is very, very interesting subjects, and it draws the person, and he might get so caught up in reading Ketubim in his house that he'll neglect coming to the class. As a matter of fact, we see how enjoyable the study of Ketuvim is. The Mishnah in Yomah teaches us that one of the ways they used to keep the Kohen Gadol up at night on the Leil Kippur They used to keep him up because he wasn't allowed to sleep. They would have a segan, let's say a certain appointed kohen, that his job was in charge to read to the kohen stories from the ketubim in order that he should stay awake. So therefore, the rabbis of Rashi understand is talking about the ketubim that are not read on Shabbat. Okay, that's the way Rashi understands. Comes the Gemara and Mishnah continues. So again, ben shekorim b'hem, whether you read from them, or ben she'en korim b'hem, whether you don't read from them. Ve'af al pi sheketuvim bechol lashon. And it doesn't matter what language the sefarim are written in, which means whether they're written in lashon hakodesh in Hebrew or, for that matter, any language. Now Rashi comes over here and tells us that when it says afal pi sheketuvim bechol lashon, the ikar leman da'amar lekaman, we're going to see an opinion later on in the Gemara, lo nitnu lekrot b'hem, which means there is an opinion that's going to say if it's written in a different language, you're not allowed to read from these books. What's the logic? Because the Torah says, Torah shebichtav, the written law must be written from a sefer. The rule is, devarim shebichtav, I atar rashai nekrotan ba'al peh. Things that are written, you're not allowed to read them by heart. And therefore, according to the opinion that says that you're not allowed to read it in another language, the logic is because now it's as if you're reading it by heart. Because you can only read it in the original Hebrew text. So the Hiddush of the Mishnah is going to be that even according to the opinion that says, really these books, you don't have to read them, and therefore really you shouldn't have had them written in the first place, but bottom line, if they're there, the Mishnah is telling you, you save them from the fire on Shabbat. So again, afal pishei ketuvim bechol lashon, even though they're written bechol lashon, and you would really not be allowed to read them, because it's devarim shebichtavi atar ashay lekrotan al ba'al peh, because it be considered as if you're reading Torah shebichtav ba'al peh, still, you save them from the deleka, from the fire. Now, te'unin giniza, but all these items need to be placed in giniza, which means you're not allowed to place them in a unprotected area. Which means no matter what the sefer is, you must place it in a protected area. Now, that's the way that she understands the Mishnah. However, his rabbis explain Bechol Lashon a little differently. We understood Bechol Lashon as referring to any sefer that's written in any language. But the rabbis of Rashi say no. Bechol Lashon is specifically discussing the ketubim, because they hold that Navi is allowed to be written in another language. Because they bring a Gemara from Megillah that tells us there was a rabbi called Yonatan ben Uziel, and he wrote a Targum, he wrote an interpretation in a foreign language to the book of Nevi'im. So therefore, they hold that Bechol Lashon is not discussing Navi, because for sure, Navi can be written Bechol Lashon. Yonatan ben Uziel did it. The Hiddush is that other books, like Torah and Ketubim, that are not written Bechol Lashon, still you can't save them. So again, according to Rashi, Bechol Lashon is going on all the books, while according to the Rabbi Tavshil Rashi, it's going on the Torah and the Ketubim. In any event, the Gemara and Mishnah concludes, Mepnei Ma En Korim Ba'em, what's the reason why we don't read, let's say, Ketubim on Shabbat? Scriptures on Shabbat, Mepenei Bitul Bet HaMidrash, because of it's going to cause people to stop from coming to the Bet HaMidrash, as we will see again in the Gemara. So again, let's just review our Mishnah. Basically, the point of the Mishnah is that you can save any Ketuvei Kodesh, Torah Nevi'im Ketuvim from a fire in the house where the fire is. You can take it out into a place even though there is no Eruv. Doesn't matter what language it is written in. Comes Gemara says Itmar. Hayu Ketubim Targum. Let's say you have this Tanakh, or it's actually a machloket exactly what this is referring to. So we'll go according to one of the ways of Rashi. It's referring to all Ketuvei Kodesh, Tanakh. You have, let's say, a Tanakh that's written in Targum, or Bechol Lashon, or it's written for that matter in any language. Ravuna Amar in Matzilin Otan Mipna Deleka. Ravuna says you don't save it from the fire. But Chizda Amar Matzilin Otan Mipna Deleka. That's why we have a machloket between Ravuna and Chizda. Rav Chizda says you do save it from the fire. Aliba deman daman nitnu likrot bahen. According to the opinion that says that you're allowed to read books that are written in other languages, meaning a Tanakh that's written in another language, is a shita like that. Therefore, the kulama lo peligi de matzilin. Everybody would agree you could save it because since you could read from it, therefore it has a kedusha, especially you can read it, you can use it. Therefore, according to that opinion that says you could write books in other languages, and therefore you can read them as well, nobody's going to argue. Of course you can save the books from the Deleka, the Tanakh. Ki peligi aliba daman deamar lo niklu letot bahem. The machloket over here is according to the opinion that says you're not allowed to write them in other languages, and therefore you're not allowed to read them. There you can have a machloket, can you save them from a fire or not? Ravuna amar in matzilin. Ravuna will tell you can't save. Why? De'a lo nitnu likrot bahem. Because bottom line, since you can't read from them, so therefore you can't save them. Rav Chizda amar matzilin. Rav Chizda says, I agree. Even though you can't read from them, but you save them. Why? Mishum bizayon ketvei kodesh. Because bottom line, it is the words of the Torah. Although you can't read from the siman, but you should not let the words of the Dvarei Torah be left in disgrace. So therefore, he allows you to save it regardless. So again, machloket Rav Huna and Rav Chizda, according to the opinion that says lo nitnu likrot. Rav Huna will tell you, since lo nitnu nekrot, you can't save the sefarim from the fire. And Rav Chizda will tell you, no, I agree, according to the opinion that says you can't read, you will not be allowed to read from them, but b'zayon HaKodesh, you can save them from the fire. Comes the Rashi just tells us, incidentally, who these opinions are. These opinions are Hakamim and Rabban Gamliel in Masechet Megillah. Hakamim tell us that the Tanakh can only be written in Lashon HaKodesh, and Rabban Gamliel's opinion was you could write the Tanakh in any language. The other opinion. Hakamim say the Tanakh can be written Bechol Lashon, that's the rabbi's opinion, and Rabban Gamliel says you cannot write the Tanakh in any language except Yevani, except for Greek. The Gemara explains over there for a specific reason. In any event, so since Hakamim, they're the ones that hold that you could write the Tanakh in any language. So according to them, there's no machloket. Of course, you save the Sefarim from a fire because you can read from them. The Hiddush is according to Rabban Gamliel that since you can't write them in any other language, still we have a machloket. Could you save it from a fire? Rav Huna will say you can't, and Rav Chizda will say you can. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Actually, this is our Mishnah. Kol ketvei kodesh matzilin otam mepnei deleka. All the holy writings, you're not to save them from a fire. Ben shekorin bahem, whether you read from them, like we learned, that's referring to Navi. Ben she'en korin bahem, that's referring to the Ketuvim, but you don't read from them on Shabbat or even in private, let's say. Ve'afal pi she'ketuvim bechol lashon. And even though they are written in any language. Now, from the fact that the Mishnah says, even though they're written in any language, from the word even though, afal pi, sounds like being written in every language is a problem. And still we're going to say it is permissible. So the Gemara says, my love, shekorim bahem nevi'im, v'she'en korim bahem ketuvim. Well, first of all, the Gemara explains the Mishnah. When it says books that you read, that's referring to the Navi. That's you read Navi on Shabbat. Ben she'en korim bahem, that's referring to ketuvim. Either, as we explained, you don't read it in the synagogue, or you don't even read it in private. Afal pi sheketuvim bechol lashon, even though they are written in any language, delo nitnu likrot bahem, meaning, and you're not allowed to read from them. And still, what does the Mishnah say? Veketani matzilin. But the Mishnah says you still save the sefarim from the fire. V'tiyufta deravuna. This is a question on avuna that says you actually do say you cannot save books from the fire. Amar lecha Rav Huna, v'tispira. Rav Hunan comes along and says, does it make sense the way you're learning the Mishnah? Ema sefa. How are you going to learn the end of the Mishnah that says Te'unin Giniza? Right? The Mishnah said that all Kitvei Kodesh you need to place in a safe place. You cannot leave it in an unguarded area. So he says, how are you going to learn that? Hashta Atsule Matzlinan. You just told me that you saved them from a fire. Giniza Mibaye. Do you have to tell me that you put them in Giniza? It goes without saying. If you're telling me that you have to save them from the fire on Shabbat, all the more so, you have to put these items in Giniza. You can't just, when you finish with them, you can't just leave them in an unsafe place. So Rav Huna says, hey, something's with this Mishnah over here. The way you learned the Mishnah doesn't make sense. Ela, Rav Huna mitaretz l'tameh, v'Rav Chisda mitaretz l'tameh. Both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda will learn the Mishnah respectively according to their opinions. And the Gemara explains, Rav Huna mitaretz l'tameh. Rav Huna will explain the Mishnah according to his reasoning. Ben shekorim b'hem nevi'im. Good. The books that you read is the Navi. Ben she'en korim b'hem, whether you don't read from them, ketubim. Ah, b'me devarim amurim. That he throws in this line. When is this tongue that you save them? Sheketuvim b'lashon ha-kodesh. That's only when they're written in Hebrew. Aval b'chol lashon in matzilin. However, when they're written bechol lashon, you do not save them from a fire. Va'afilu acher, but still giniza ba'u. They need giniza. So the chiddush of giniza is on the bechol lashon, which means you to save it, it's got to be written b'lashon hakodesh according to shita Rav Huna. However, when it comes to giniza, to put them in safekeeping when you finish with them, when you're not going to use them anymore, that's for sure even applies to Bechol Lashon. That's the way Rav Huna is going to interpret our Mishnah. Rav Chisda mitaretz l'tameh. Rav Chisda will interpret the Mishnah. Ben shekorim b'hem nevi'im. Good. Whether it's books that you read on Shabbat, that's the Navi. Ben she'en korim b'hem, that's referring to the Ketubim. Afal pi sheketubim bechol lashon, even though they are written in any language, nameh matzilin, still you're allowed to save them. Vehachi kamar umekak shelahem. The mekak is the books that became disintegrated by the worms, which means in the olden days it was very prevalent that you had bookworms, and these worms would eat through the actual book itself. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that when you have these books that disintegrated by the worms, so now the leftover parchment is called mekak. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is te'onim giniza, which means these items need giniza. You might have thought maybe the mekak, it's not considered kodesh anymore. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is when it comes to saving them from a fire, afa pishikin to be bechol lashon. Even though they're written in any language, you save it. Oh, so what does it have to say? Giniza? No, Giniza was not talking about regular books. Giniza was referring to another Hiddush, that the mekak, the disintegrated parts of the book that were eaten by the worms, still you have to put them in Giniza. Yeah, in any language, exactly. Okay, so that's the way he explains it. Comes again and says, Metive, we have a question from a Braita. Hayu ketuvim targum. Actually, ubechol lashon. If let's say the Tanakh was written in targum, that would be Aramaic, or for that matter, any language. Matzilin otan mipnei adeleka. Clear Braita says you could save it from the fire. Tiyufta de Rav Huna. A question against Rav Huna. Amar lecha Rav Huna, hay tana savar nitnu lekrot bahem. He says, that Tana that says you could save it from the Delekah is going according to the opinion of Hakamim that say you could save it, that you could write Tanakh in any language. So that's why he said you could save it from the fire. Which means Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, their argument was only according to the opinion of Rabban Gamliel that says you can't write Tanakh in any language. But they all agree, according to the Hakamim that say you could write the Tanakh in any language, of course you'd be able to save it from a fire. So therefore when they brought this Braita against Rav Huna, he says that Braita is going according to Shitat Hakamim that says you could write the Tanakh in any language. Therefore that opinion says you can save it from the fire. I was talking about, according to the Rabban Gamliel, it says you can't write it in any language, you would not be allowed to save it from the fire. Comes again and says, Tashema. We have another statement. Hayu ketubim giftit. If let's say the Tanakh was written giftit, I think they explain that as Coptic. Midit, it's another language. Ivrit, that's in the writing of Eved HaYarden. It's written in Hebrew, but it's written in a different font. The people of Eved HaYarden had a different way of writing the letters. Elmit, okay, that's the people from Elam, that language. Yevanit, or for that matter, Greek. Afalpi shelo nitnu likrot bahem, even though you're not allowed to read from these books, matzidin otan mipnei adeleka, you're allowed to save it from a fire. Tiyufta de Ravuna. Now this is a question according to Ravuna, because this opinion is going even according to the opinion that says that you're not allowed to write these books, and it's still telling us that you do save it from the deleka. So that's a direct question against Ravuna. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar lecha Ravuna. Ravuna comes along and tells you. Now, just before you get the answer, this, you have to analyze this statement over here, because who is the author really of this statement? Because this statement is saying that you can't even write books in Greek. Now we understood that Rabban Gamliel's opinion was you can't write them in any language except Greek. Here he's telling you that whether it was giftit, midit, evrit, elmit, yevanit, and then it says afal pi shelon nitnu lekrot, even though you can't read from them, meaning you shouldn't have written in those languages. So the Tosfot just points out that it's going according to the opinion in Masechet Megillah of Rabbi Yehuda that said that other sifarim besides the Torah you cannot write in Greek. So the Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Rabban Gamliel that allowed Greek is only in a Sefer Torah itself. However, outside all the other books of Nevi'im and Ketuvim, even the Rabban Gamliel, according to his opinion, would say Greek is no good. So that's the opinion that we are going according to this. Rabbi Yehuda, the way he interpreted the opinion of the Rabban Gamliel. So therefore, Greek is not good by other Sefarim. In any event, how is Ravuna going to interpret this statement? Amaleka Ravuna Tanaehi says, what do you want? It's a mahloket Tanaim on this subject, and now he's going to prove it. Detanya, we have a brayta. Hayu ketuvim targum ubchol lashon. Let's say the Tanakh was written in Aramaic or in any language. Matzilin otan mepnei adeleka. Right, so you're allowed to save it from the fire. Rabbi Yose Omer en matzilin otan mepnei adeleka. He says, Rabbi Yose, no, you cannot save it from the deleka. Now the Gemara tells a story. Amar Rabbi Yose. Rabbi Yose said, Ma'aseh be'abba halafta. There was a story with my father, halafta. Rabbi Yose's father was called halafta, so he referred to him as Abba halafta. She'alach etzel Rabban Gamliel b'Rabbi. That he went to Rabban Gamliel b'Rabbi. B'Rabbi, as she says, is a terminology used to define Adam Gadol, a great man. It doesn't mean he was the son of Rabbi, it means he was a great man himself. So whenever you see a statement like Rabban Gamliel b'Rabbi, that means he was a Hashuv man. It's like a title. Liteberia. So it says, my father, Halafta, went to Rabban Gamliel, the great one, to Tiberias. Umetzao Chaya Yoshev al Shulchano. He was sitting by the table. Shel, and the way the text has it over here would be Shel Rabbi Yohanan ben Nizuf, at the table of Rabbi Yohanan ben Nizuf. Ubiado Sefer Iyov Targum, and he had the book of Iyov in his hand, written in Targum, Aramaic. Vehu Korebo, and he was reading from it. Amar lo, so my father told him, Zachur ani berabban Gamliel avi avicha. He says, I remember your grandfather, Rabban Gamliel, right? Rabban Gamliel's grandfather was also called Rabban Gamliel. So Halafta tells him, I remember your grandfather, Rabban Gamliel, Shaya omed al gabe ma'ala beharabayit. He was standing in an elevated area by the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Ve'vi'o lefanav sefer Iyov targum. And they brought from him they brought him a book of Iyov written in Aramaic. So he told the builders over there, you know, of the Beit HaMikdash, there were some builders, Shaka'au tachat ha-nidbach. Says, take the book and put it under the bricks of the wall. Which means, get rid of it. Afu tziva alav v'genazo. So when Rabban Gamliel II heard this, so he said, okay, if that's what my grandfather did, fine, take this book of Iyov that's written in Targum and put it in Geniza. Now, we just have a different understanding of what happened in that story. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Areva shel tit kafu alav. He's a little different there. They didn't put it under the bricks of the Beit HaMikdash, but they had a bowl made out of clay, and they took it and they turned it over on the book of Iyov. Amar Rabbi, and Rabbi said, when he heard this story, Shtei teshuvot bedavar. I have two refutations on this story. Hada, number one, v'chi tit be'arabayit minayin. Where was the clay on the Temple Mount? Meaning the ingredients of the construction of the Beit HaMikdash was limestone. They didn't make it out of clay. And therefore, strange that they would have a clay vessel on the Temple Mount that they placed it in. Ve'od v'chi mutar le'abedan biyad. I mean, there, you're actually putting it under clay. It seems they were actually destroying the book of Iyov with their hands. Which is, it's one thing to place it under a brick where it's still intact. But here, to go now and, you know, cover it in clay, it seems it would actually ruin the book, you know, biyadayim. So the bee could not accept that. Ela manihan bimkom haturfa. What you do is you put it in a, let's say, an unprotected area, and you just let them disintegrate by themselves. In any event, so we have a machlok at what took place on the Har HaBayit, but you see clearly from this right that what happened, that we have an opinion over here, that if it was written in another language over there, so clearly Rabban Gamliel the first commanded to put it in Geniza, and his grandson who was reading from it, once he heard that story, he also told them, put it in the Geniza. Now the Gemara is going to explain the opinions over here. Mantana, which means, look at the bottom line in Rashi, Mantana, what the Gemara is asking. The Kama Ravuna Le'el Tanna'i, right? Ravuna told that there's actually Mahlok Tanna'im, if you're allowed to save a Ketve Kodesh Bechol Lashon, if you're allowed to save it from the Deleka or not. So that she says, the Rav Huna that told us before that it's a Machloket Tanaim, Man Mehani Tanae Ka'e K'Rav Chazda Uman K'Rav Huna. Which means, which one of these Tanaim that we just quoted in this long Braita, which one's going like Rav Huna and which one's going like Rav Chazda? So the Gemara says, Man Tanae Ilema Tanakama Derbi Yoseh. Meaning, it could be, it's the opinions of the Braita, Tanakama Rabbi Yosef, meaning, we just quoted a Braita. What was Tanakama's opinion? Hayu kituvim targum ubchol lashon, matzirin otam apnei hadeleka. So that Tanakama's opinion must be going like Rav Chisda, and Rabbi Yosef that says en matzirin must be going like Rav Huna. So therefore, we quoted a Braita, and must be the opinions of Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef. Those are the rabbis, those are the Tanaim that have a similar argument as Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Tanakama that said even though it's written Bechol Lashon, you save it. So that's the opinion of Rav Chisda. And Rabbi Yosef that says no, they're in every language that you don't have to write it like that, you don't save it. That would be going like Rav Huna. So it seems that Rav Huna successfully proved to us that there's a machloket tanaim, even according to the opinion that says you're not allowed to write Ketve Kodesh. So it's a machloket tanaim. So what do you want from me? He says, I'm following, a Tana. So therefore, you can't bring me a question from another Braita that says you can save, because that's going like a different Tana. I'm going like my Tana, meaning Rav Huna would be going like, according to this, Rabbi Yosef. So comes the Gemara and says, "V'dilma be'akam epalge." Who says that you're learning the Braita correctly? Maybe the argument in the Braita is more sabar nitnu lekrot bahen, umor sabar lo nitnu lekrot bahen. Which means maybe the machloket in this Braita between Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef is indeed, are you allowed to write books bechol lashon or not? Meaning, according to Tanakama that says matzilin, because he holds you can write them bechol lashon, and according to Rabbi Yosef that says you can't say them from the deleka, because he'll hold you can't write them bechol lashon. So then we have no proof that there's a machloket tanaim in the shita that says en kodvin. You just see that there is an argument whether kodvin or en kodvin. Rav Huna is trying to prove to us that there's a machloket tanaim even in the shita that says en kodvin. Still, there's going to be a machloket whether you can say from the delika or not. So the Gemara is saying this braita has no proof, because I can tell you the argument in this braita is whether you could be kotev or not. Tanakama will say since you could be kotev bechol lashon, so you could say it, matzilin. Rabbi Yosef will say since you can't write bechol lashon and matzilin. So we're back to the question of Huna, where are these tanaim that you were talking about? So the Gemara says Ela Rabbi Yosef v'tana de giftit. The machloket is Rabbi Yosef and the Tana of the Giftit Braita. Let's go back to the Giftit Braita. That was the original question that they leveled against Rav Huna. That Braita was Tashema. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines after they got wide. The Gemara brought a question. Hayu kituvim giftit, midit, evrit, elmit, evanit, afapi shelon nitnu lekrot bahen. Clearly, even though you cannot write them and read them, matzilin otam b'nei adeleka. Oh, so that's one opinion. That opinion clearly says that even though you can't write it, you still matzil. That would be going like Rav Chisda. And the Rabbi Yosef of the Braita that we just quoted will say, even though you can't, so since you can't write them, you're not allowed to save them also. That's the other tenet of Rabbi Yosef, and that would be going like Rav Huna. So we found actually two tanaim that will argue even in the opinion that says you can't write them, still is a machloket tanaim if you can save them. The Tana of Giftit, that writer says you save it. That would Rav Chisda now has a Tana to back him. And Rav Huna has a Biyoseh. And the second writer to back him, meaning even though that since you cannot write it in any language, you cannot save it from the Deleka as well. So comes out the maskanat, this Gemara, it's a machloket tanaim as well as a machloket amoraim. But everybody would agree, according to Shitat Chachamim in Masechet Megillah, you can write it bechol lashon. So if you can write the Tanakh bechol lashon, for sure matzilin ota mepenei hadeleka. Comes the Gemara further, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita, haberachot. Berachot literally means the berachot tachamim established. She says, for example, the 18 berachot of the Hamidah, or the other berachot, let's say, berkat nehenin, all these other berachot that they made, if let's say they were written on a parchment, or they were written on a paper. Now you have to keep in mind, originally, berachot were part of Torah Shebaal Peh, which means you really were not allowed to write these things down. It was forbidden to write down any form of the oral law. Berachot were included. So it says, HaBerachot, VeHaKimi'in, and amulets, AfalPi Sheyesh Ben Otiyot Shel Shem. Even though in the amulets and in the berachot, God's name is written, right? Certainly in berachot, the name of God is written, and sometimes even in the amulets, they write different shemot of God. Umeinyanot harbe sheba Torah, and many pesukim of the Torah also written in amulets. So that she gives us an example. Kol ha-mahala asher samti b'mesraim lo asim alecha, or another pasuk of lo tira mepachad laila. They would write pesukim in the amulets. En matzilin otan mepenei adeleka. You do not save these items from the fire. Ela nisrafim bimkoman. You let them burn in their place. Hen ve'azkirotehen. The amulets in the berachot with the names of God.
Mikan Amru, and from here the rabbis made a statement. Kotve berachot, anybody that writes these berachot down, kesorfe Torah, they are like the burners of the Torah, because they're putting this parchment now in harm's way. Because if it's going to be caught in the fire, you have to leave it there. Then the Hakamim said, do not write these items down, because they're going to be subject to, to not being able to save them on Shabbat. There was a fellow that was writing, it seems, the berachot in a place called Sidon. So they told Rabbi Ishmael about this guy. So Rabbi Ishmael went to check the guy out. When Rabbi Ishmael was climbing the ladder to get to this guy's room, so the fellow realized that he got caught. Natal tumus shel berachot. He took all his papers. Tumus is a bunch of papers of the berachot that he was writing. Veshakan v'sefer shel mayim, and he drowned them in a bucket of water, which means he erased them. He put them in water in order to erase them so he doesn't get caught. Ulbilchon azeh amar lo Rabbi Ishmael. And Rabbi Ishmael told him the following, in the following language. Gadol onesh ha'acharon min harishon. Says the punishment that you're going to get for the latter thing that you did, by destroying them with your hands, by putting them in the water, that's even greater than the punishment you're going to get for writing them down in the first place. Now, it should be pointed out that based on the situation where today we're allowed to write down all books of Torah Shebaal Peh, which means there came a time where Hakamim decided that since the memory of Am Yisrael is failing, and if we don't write down all these, you know, laws, the Talmud, the Mishnah, Berachot, the Sidur, and all these Pesukim, if we don't, all these things of the oral law, if we don't write them down, we're going to forget them. They based this heter on a pasuk in Tehillim, et la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratecha. That sometimes when the time calls for something, Hachamim are allowed to even make an enactment that goes against the Torah. Sometimes you have to break the Torah to keep the Torah. Bitulo zehu kiyumo. So therefore, in our time, we're living after that takana, all these books are permitted to be written. And therefore, you'd say from a deleka, any books of both Tanakh and Torah Shebaal Peh as well. This piece of Talmud was talking before that enactment, and therefore they weren't allowed, according to anybody, they weren't allowed to write Berachot down, because that was part of Torah Shebaal Peh. So since you weren't allowed to write it down, everybody agreed, there was no argument on this. You weren't allowed to save it from a fire. That's what I said. Anyone that writes these things down, he's kesorfe Torah. It's actually putting these items in harm's way, meaning you're not going to be able to save them on Shabbat. But that, of course, changed once the Hachamim made the takana that you can write down Torah Shabbat Pir. Ba'amine resh geluta mirabah. Ba'aravuna. So the resh galut, the exilach in Babel, asked the question to Rabbah Baravuna. Hayu ketuvim besam ubesikra Bekumos ubekankantum belashona kodesh. Now we discuss not the language. Let's say the language was written in Hebrew, so that's good. The Tanakh was written in lashona kodesh, but you used a different type of ink, because normally the ink that's kasher for writing the Torah is what? Dio, is black ink. Let's say you have these books in your house that are written in Lashon HaKodesh, but in a different ink. What are these inks? So the first ink is called Sam. How do they explain Sam? Sam is a
paint.
Okay. Sikra would be red paint, red dye. Kumos is certain gum. And Kankantum is copper sulfate. The point is, all these items are not usually written. You don't write a Sefer Torah with these items, right? They're inferior inks. So it says, Matzilin otam apne adeleka, or en matzilin. Do you save them from the fire or not? Tibe'e leman damar matzilin, tibe'e leman damar en matzilin. And this question is according to both opinions. Both according to the opinion that says, Matzilin apne adeleka, which means, if it was written in any language, and you can ask this according to the opinion that says that You don't say if it's written in any language. This is a question according to both shitot. You can ask this question according to the opinion that says you don't save sifanim that are written b'chol lashon. Yeah, that's because you wrote it in a bad language, in the wrong language. However, but here, maybe since it's written in lashon hakodesh, matzirin, maybe you'll save it. Or dilma, afilu leman damar matzirin. Or maybe according to the opinion that says matzirin. I'll say what? Maybe that's only talking about where it was written, Lashon HaKodesh, and in black ink that is indelible, that stays. But here, maybe since you wrote it, even though you wrote it in Lashon HaKodesh, but you didn't write it with the right ink, meaning this ink does not stay, so maybe it's not permanent, so therefore maybe he'll agree, and Matzilin. So the Gemara really has a question, what do you do if the Tanakh was written in inferior inks? Gemara says, Amar le en matzilin. So he answered him. He answered the question. Rabba Rav Huna answered. Gemara says, Ve'a Rav Menuna tana matzilin. She says, oh, what do you mean? Rav Menuna has a braita that clearly says if it's written in another type of inferior ink, you do save it from the fire. So he answers him back, Amar le tanya tanya. He says, okay, if he has a braita, he has a braita. Well, the question is a little strange over here. So he was asking him a question. He knew there was a braita. So the rabbi told him, "En matzilin." So he said, "What do you mean? We have a braita that says you do matzil. Oh, you have a braita, you have a braita." I was like, I retract. So you are matzil. What was he setting him up? What was this conversation here? So the Mefashim explained that he wasn't Hashem testing the rabbi. He asked the rabbi his question. Once the rabbi gave his answer, he said, is the rabbi aware of this braita? Meaning, one of two things. Could be the rabbi knew the braita and just held that this braita is not legitimate, right? It's not an authentic braita, and therefore he disregarded it. Or maybe he was not aware of the braita at all. So Rigi asked him the question, so he says, "En matzni." He says, oh, so what do you do with this braita? Meaning, does this mean that this braita is not authentic? So Rabbi Ben Amram says, no. If you have a braita like that, then I retract. And then the braita is legal, and therefore, matzidin. Now, the Gemara says, my Tanya, where is this braita? Amar Avasheh, Kidetanya. En ben sefarim le Megillah. There is no difference between the Tanakh and Megillat Esther. Ela shasefarim nechtavim bechol lashon. Sefarim are able to be written in any language, u'megilah ad sheteh ketuba ashurit, but Megillat Esther can only be written in the Ketab Ashurit, that's the original writing, the way we have our Sefer Torah, that's the font is called Ketab Ashurit, that's the Hebrew with the font called Ashuri, ala sefer, has to be written on parchment, u'bidiyo, and has to be written in black ink, implying that that's only a law of Megillah. However, other sifarim can be written even in other inks. So clearly you see from this statement over here that it is permissible. And therefore, matzili, therefore you'll save them. Comes the Gemara and says, Ba'amine Ravuna bar haluv merav Nachman. Ravuna bar Haluv asked a question to Rav Nachman. Sefer Torah she'en bo lelaket shemonim v'chamesh otiyot. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah, and obviously it was an old Sefer or something happened to it where you have less than 85 letters left to this Sefer Torah. The magic number they're saying over is 85. You have less than 85. Kegon Parashat Vayhi ben Soah Aaron. There are two pesukim in the Torah. Vayhi ben Soah Aaron. It's in Sefer Bamidbar, Perik Yud, Pasuk Lamed Het, Lamed Tet. Okay. Now those two pesukim, if you count them up, they have altogether 85 letters. Okay. Now, the Gemara later on is going to tell us that these two pesukim of Vayhi ben Soah Aaron actually are considered a sefer on its own. which means those two pesukim are considered its own book. And the Gemara is going to prove it. So what do you see from over here? That to be considered a book of the Torah, the minimum amount is 85 letters. So that's where they got the number 85. They found a significant sefer in the Torah that has 85. So that's why the Gemara chooses the number 85. So the question was, now you have a sefer, and you count all the letters, and all you have left is less than 85. Do you save the sefer on account of those letters or not? So the Gemara says, Matzirin utam b'nei hadelika or en matzirin? Do you save it from the fire or not? So the Gemara says, which means, could be once you have less than that amount of letters, there's no more Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Maybe the Kedusha minimally you have to have 85. Or do you say, no, even though let's say all of these letters wore out, you still save it. Amar le, v'tiv'i lach parashat v'hi ben so'aron gufa. Says, why don't you ask on that parasha itself of Vahibin So'aron? Just forget about a regular Sefer Torah. What about parasha Vahibin So'aron, those two pesukim? Let's say you have those two pesukim in on the parchment, and one letter of those two pesukim is missing. So you have 84 letters in those two pesukim. What do you do with that? So he said, no, I don't have a question on that. If the parashat v'hibin so'aron, those two pesukim were missing one letter, I don't have a question. For sure you're going to save it. Why? Because by one of those two pesukim, God's name is mentioned twice. So therefore, so even though there's no 85, if there's God's name written in the area, for sure you save it. I'm talking about outside of those two pesukim. And generally speaking, in a Sefer Torah, without Shem Hashem remaining, you just have less than 85. Do you save it or not? Right. So he told them, you don't save it. Less than 85, there's no more Kiddusha, and you don't have to save it from the fire. So comes again what Aaron says. We have a question. Targum sheketavo mikra. Now, as an introduction to this, we know that there are certain words in the Torah that are actually written in Aramaic. The classic example would be when Lavan named the memorial place where him and Yaakov made the peace treaty, Yaakov called it Galed, it's the Hebrew name for it, and Lavan called it Yegar Sahaduta, which is an Aramaic word. So we have a statement that says like this in a Braita. Targum, if let's say you had a word in the Torah that should have been written in Aramaic, Sheketavo Mikra, and instead of writing in Aramaic, you wrote it in Hebrew. You wrote it in the Hebrew word. Umikra, or you have a Hebrew word, Sheketavo Targum, and you wrote it in its Aramaic version. V'chtav Ivrit, or you use the font instead of Ashuri writing, you used Ivri writing. Matzilin mepenei adeleka, you save these items. The Sefer Torah still has kedusha, and you save it from the fire. Ve'en sarich lomar targum shebe'ezra v'shebe'daniel, and it goes without saying the Aramaic words of Ezra and Daniel, which were written in Aramaic from the onset. So of course, the books of Ezra and Daniel, even though they're written in Aramaic, since that was the way they were originally written, certainly you save them from the Delekah. The Hiddush is even a Sefer Torah, that you switch the Aramaic for Hebrew, or the Hebrew for Aramaic, or the font from Meshuri to Avri, you still save it from the fire. So the Gemara says, V'sheba Torah Targum V'sheba Daniel. So you read it like this. Ve'en sirgumat targum shebe'ezra v'shebe'daniel v'shebe'torah. It goes without saying the Aramaic interpretations of the book of Ezra, Daniel, and the Torah, certainly you save them because that's the text that they were written in. Now the Gemara says, targum shebe'torah mayniu. Give me a case of targum in the Torah. Gemara says, yegar sa'aduta. There you go. When Lavan called that place, yegar sa'aduta. Now, Da'afalgav delet ba'shemonim v'hamesh otiyot. Ah, now we go back to that statement. It says, if you have, let's say, an Aramaic word, right? Either you wrote it in Hebrew, or Hebrew word, you wrote it in Aramaic, bottom line, you saved the Sefer Torah on that account. That even though the word Yegar Saduta is less than 85 letters, right? It didn't say anything else. It just said, regarding that word, you still save the Sefer Torah. So you see that you save a Sefer that has even less than 85 letters. The Gemara says, Ki tanya hi lehashlim. Says, no. That Braita was referring to, you can use the Aramaic letters of the Torah to get to the subtotal of 85. Well, if you're right, if you said you got a Saduta alone, don't say the Sefer Torah. The Hiddush is that don't think you need 85 from Hebrew words. You can even count the Aramaic words of the Torah to get to the 85. But bottom line, you need 85. So comes the Gemara and says, Ibayadehu, question. Hamesh Shemonim v'Hamesh Otiyot. These 85 letters, Mechunasot or Mefuzarot. Now we discuss the distance between the letters. Do they all have to be 85 in a row? Mechunasot meaning gathered, or can they be even 85 scattered? Meaning a different, let's say, lines, different parchments. Davunama Mechunasot. Davuna said they have to be collected, meaning all together. Davchazda Amar. Afidu mefuzarot. I'm going to know. It doesn't matter, even if they are scattered. Metive, we have a question. Sefer Torah shebala. You have a Sefer Torah that wore out. The letters wore out. Im yesh bo lilkot shemonim v'chamesh otiyot. If you have enough letters left to collect 85, kegon parashat v'hi ben soaron, like the parashat v'hi ben soaron, which has 85 letters, matzirin v'im lav. And matzirin. Now, the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Ravuna. This is a question on Ravuna. Why? Where's the question? Ravuna said that the letters have to be all together. What did it say in this Braita differently? Because the language is, Im yesh ba lelaket. Lelaket means to gather, implying that the letters are all over the place. So if there's 85 letters that you can collect, meaning count up, so that sounded they do not have to be together. So this blight has a question on Lavuna from the Lashon again. If you have enough letters to gather, so Gemara says, Targema Rav Chizda Aliba de Lavuna. Rav Chizda will answer for Lavuna. Jeez, here you see the intellectual honesty of the Hakamim. Just even though Rav Chizda was against Rav Huna, he says no. In honesty, this Braita is not a question on Rav Huna. He can answer it. How? Betevot. He could say it's talking about words. What does that mean? So Rashi. Tevot literally means words. Ha diktani de laket emashva mefuzarot, which means that what it said in the Braita. That you gather. That sounds like the even scattered. That's talking about words. Meaning, if they're complete words, then they do not have to be next to each other. You could take 85 letters from complete words all over the Torah. Rav Huna will say that's okay. The argument that Rav Huna and Rav Chizda had was on individual letters that were not part of words. Meaning, by the letters themselves, you have a machlok to Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. Rav Huna says they have to be together. Rav Chizda says they don't have to be together. When it comes to Tevot, then even Rav Huna will concede that if they're full words, even though they're scattered across the Torah, they're okay so long as you have 85. So that's the way Rav Chizda answers for Rav Huna. Now, since we have just a few moments left, I'd like to try a quick review of the subjects that we discussed today. Again, first we discussed our Mishnah on Kuf Tedvav called Ketve Kodesh, which we talked about. That's the Torah Nevim, the Ketuvim. You're allowed to save them from a Deleka. You can save it from a fire. Even on Shabbat, we said from the house that the fire is in, and you can bring it out to a Mavui, even though there is no Eruv. Okay? Then we discussed whether they're written in, whether they are readable on Shabbat, meaning Nevi'im, or whether they are Enkurim Bahim. So we explained either Ketubim, that are not read in the Bet Knesset, because we do not read them as Haftarah, or it's referring to even at home, as we explained, because of Bitul Bet HaMidrash, because we did not want the people to get drawn into the study of Ketubim, and they will not come to the Halakha Shi'ur. Even though they are written in any language, we still said, you save them from the Deleka. Now we explained that our Mishnah is going according to the opinion that says that either you obviously from the word afalpi, we said that it's talking about even though you shouldn't have done it, still you can save it. So that's going according to the Tana that says you do save it. And that was, as well as the opinion of Rav Hizda that says you do save it from the Dilika. Then we said, right, we have a machloket of Hunan of Hizda, whether you matzil or not, in the opinion of Rabban Gamliel that says you cannot write the Tanakh in any language. Rav Huna said, therefore you do not save it from the Dilika. Rav Hizda said, you do. And the Hiddush, then we said in the Mishnah when it said Giniza, the Hiddush of Rav Huna was that even though you don't save it from the Dilika, however, you do still have to put them in Ginizah. And according to Rav Hizda, you do save it from the Delekan. The Hiddush of Ginizah is the Mekak, that the disintegrated books that were eaten by the worms, still the Mekak you put in Ginizah. We learned about Berachot, Kimi'in, and these items. They shouldn't be written down because it's Torah Sheba'al Peh, and therefore anybody that writes it down is considered Kesorfei Torah. And we read the story of Rabbi Ishmael that he went up to the attic and saw the guy writing them, and he got rid of them before he wrote them, and he said that the punishment for getting rid of them biyadayim is much worse than the first thing by writing them down initially. The Gemara then talked about what about writing them in inferior inks, meaning in Lashon HaKodesh, but in Sam, Sikra, Kumus, Kantum. So we said Matzilin, you do save them from the Deleka, you do save them from the fire. We saw a proof to that was from the Braita. The fact that the Braita said that the only difference between Sefarim and Megillah is that Megillah must be written in Dio, implying that other Sefarim do not. So from that Braita we proved that even if it's written in a different ink, you still save them from the Dileka. And the last point we learned is a Sefer Torah that got worn out, or let's say the letters got erased, and you only have 85 letters left in the Sefer Torah, assuming that there is no names of God in that area. So we had an issue over here. If it's less than that, you do not save it from the fire. If it's 85 or more, you do save it. The reason why we got 85 was based on the pasuk of Vayibin So'aron. Those two pasukim have 85 letters, so that becomes to make the minimum amount of letters that you need to make kiddusha of a Sefer Torah. Furthermore, when it said the mahloket of Rav Huna and Rav Hizda, that was only discussing letters. The question was, do they have to be together or can they even be scattered? Rav Hizda said even if they are scattered, where Rav Huna said they have to be together, that's to be consecutive 85 letters. And then we learned one more condition, that that's only referring to letters. Rav Huna said they have to be together. But words, according to Rav Huna, he will agree even if they are scattered throughout the Sefer Torah, so long as you have 85 letters amongst all the words, you will save it from the Dilekah. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.